Over here, this week's parasha, the Chedu Egel, and how does it begin? How does the Chedu Egel begin? So it says in the pasuk, the beginning of the second Aliyah. It's a very long Aliyah here in the beginning of the parasha. The second Aliyah, Moshe tarries, he delays. Okay, but there's a pasuk that there's a very important pasuk that's said before the beginning of the Chedu Egel. How come I can't find it? One second. Here it is. The beginning of Perek Lamed Beis. Now, Lamed Beis. Now, when we learned in the afternoon, Chumash and Unkelis, we spent a lot of time on this. And that is, like we mentioned Ramchol there as well. Every single chapter break in Tanakh is Molei V'Godosh, heaping with apikursis. Who put the chapter breaks? This is a well-known established fact. There's nothing to make believe. Who are the ones who put the chapter breaks in Tanakh? The Christians. They took the Bible and they put in the chapter breaks, and there's not a shadow of a doubt. This is something which is very well known and documented. Every single chapter break is hidden apikoursis. And all begins, you can see right away in the beginning of the Torah with the Perek Aleph, Perek Beis. This is a great example. This Perek Lamed Beis is a fantastic example of the apikoursis of the Christians. When we begin the Aliyah, where is there a real break? Where is there a parasha stuma? The parasha stuma is pasuk where the second Aliyah begins. The second Aliyah begins Vayitein El Moshe. The second Aliyah begins with Hashem finished speaking. The word kechaloisa means to finish, literally. Hashem finished speaking to Moshe at Har Sinai. Moshe went up to Shvan for 40 days to review the Aseres HaDibros. Chazal say that at each day he spent 4 days on each Dibro, each Dibur. There are ten Dibrois. Each one of the Dibrois, Moshe spent 4 days. So for grand total 40 days. It was after Hashem reviewed all of the details of the Aseres HaDibrois. Moshe, Hashem gives Moshe, he puts everything in writing. The Luchos Soedus, Luchos Evan, Kisuvim, Be'etzma Elokim. Okay, Milsim of Dikus, I always like to say is that the Torah was given, Hashem was ahead of his time, two tablets, the iOS and Android. How many popular apps there are today? There are two different computing companies who make operating systems for tablets. There's Apple, they make the iOS, and there's Google, who makes Android. Everyone here has either an Android or an iOS. And notice it says Be'etzba Elokim. How do you control your phone? With your finger. You don't use pen and paper. Who uses pen and paper? Everything you do with your finger. The Ribbono Shel Olam was ahead of his time. He gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. If you like Apple, good for you. There's an iPad. You like Android, for you there's an Android. How do you Be'etzba Elokim with your finger, right? Hashem wrote the Aseres was ahead of his time. Okay, that was a joke. But anyway, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu Luchos v'Shnei Luchos Habris Be'etzba Elokim. Then begins a new chapter break. A new chapter break. Now this chapter break, the Perek Lamed Beis, was introduced into the Chumash by the Christians. There is no Jewish chapter break over here. The chapter break begins with the pasuk before Vayitein El Moshe. Right before Vayitein El Moshe in the Chumash, you'll see there's a Samach, which means a Parsha Stuma. In the Sefer Torah, there's a gap. There's an empty space indicating that this is a new section. So the new section begins with the words Vayitein El Moshe. Hashem gave Moshe the Aseres HaDibros on the Luchos, and then the next pasuk is Vayar Ha'am Ki Voshesh Moshe Loredes Min Ahar. The people saw that Moshe delayed. They delayed. Moshe did not tarry. He did not come down from the mountain. They got worried. And Rashi is a long Rashi explaining what exactly their mistake was. They made a calculation. Moshe said he's going. Moshe went to Shemayim on the seventh day of Sivan. And they thought by mistake that the first of the 40 days includes the seventh day of Sivan. That is incorrect. The first of the 40 days is the eighth day of Sivan. And that's why they expected Moshe Rabbeinu to descend on day 16 of Tammuz, and Moshe only came down on day 17 of Tammuz. So Moshe was a day late in their calculation. They made a mistake, Kivo Shesh, but they thought Moshe delayed. Okay? So we have two Pesukim over here back to back. We have Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Yudches, and Pasuk Aleph. According to the Christians, there's a break. There's the end of the chapter begins with Vayash. God gave Moshe this Shabbos. And after Shabbos, it says, according to the Christians, in the previous Aliyah of Shamru v'nei Yisroel Shabbos. And then after it says Shav Shabbos v'yinafash v'yitein al Moshe l'kechal osil adabar yitob b'har Sinai. Hashem gave Moshe l'taseres adibros. Finished. And then begins, according to a new chapter, which has crept into our usage, which we cannot avoid, we cannot get away from anymore. And that is the new chapter begins. Vayar ha'am ki vayshesh Moshe loredes minahar vayikohel ha'am al Aaron vayom relov kum asid lanu elokim. The people they saw that Moshe delayed. If that was really the beginning of the parasha, then there should have been a samach in the Torah right before pasuk aleph vayar ha'am. Yet in the Torah, the chapter break is one pasuk before, after we conclude Shabbos. And the beginning of the beginning of the story of the Chet Egel is Vayitein El Moshe Kichaloisoy Ledaber Ito. And why did the Christians put the chapter break there? It's very obvious, because they thrive. They thrive on highlighting the mistakes of the ancient Hebrews. They thrive on this. Oh, you see, they're no good. They're no good. They have to be replaced. They're not going to go start a chapter describing the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem gave him the Ten Commandments, because that would give, you know, that would give some nice, that would say something positive about the Jewish people. Their whole theology is, as Rav Michal says, replacement theology, that God abandoned the Hebrews and he selected a new nation to take our place. So therefore, they have to always go out of their way to highlight our discretion, our sins. So they start a chapter with Vayar Ha'om, Ki Vayshesh Moshe Laledes Minahar, and right away they committed a terrible transgression that goes to air to why we have been rejected. Apikorsis, because in the Torah, the chapter break is a pasuk before. Now, but being that the chapter break really is a pasuk before, that still begs the question, so what's talking of Pshat? What's talking of, why indeed is the first pasuk, Vayitein El Moshe, a chelek of the story of the Chet Egel? What does this pasuk have to do with anything? I want to say, make a suggestion. I don't know if this might be a little bit dangerous, the suggestion, but I want you to play it out, and you'll tell me if you agree or not. There's an incredible difference between pasuk Yudches and pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Yudches refers to, let's say, kefitza saderech. Pasuk Aleph refers to you're stuck in gridlock as a mushroom. Okay, you want to go somewhere? Gridlock alert. Okay, you're stuck in traffic, you ain't going nowhere. Your mom is stuck. And then at times you have kefitza saderech. It's supposed to take 2 hours to get there, you get there within a half an hour. How in the world did that happen? How did you get to where you're supposed to be in such short time? Pasuk Yudches, Vayit Moshe goes to Shemayim to receive the Torah, and it says kichaloisai. Rashi is disturbed with the word kichaloisai. Kichaloisai means, it means finished, but it also means a kala, a bride. A bride. What is a bride doing here in this pasuk? Pasuk Yudches. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he learned in 40 days what was humanly impossible for a person to acquire in many lifetimes. Moshe Rabbeinu's speed of study was accelerated. Why? Because Hashem liked Moshe, and Hashem looked at Moshe as if he was a bride. And Hashem looked at Moshe as if Moshe was really a chassan, it seems. And just like a kala gives gifts to a chassan, to her chassan, and the amount of time it would take a chassan to earn minimum wage, to earn the amount of money that a kala gives a chassan as his dowry, it would take a lifetime. And here, a young man, he marries a woman, and all of a sudden, he has a rich there, he has a wealthy father-in-law, and he gives his son-in-law a gift. It would take him a lifetime to earn that kind of money, had he been on his own. And all of a sudden, he finds in his bank account a large sum of money. It's exactly what happened by Har Sinai. Hashem, okay, Moshe, I have to teach you Kol HaTaruku. We only got 40 days. 40 days is enough time to learn the Aleph. It's not enough time to know Kol HaTaruku. So you know what? I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to do magic. I'm going to open up your mind, and I'm going to download to your mind an enormous amount of information. You're going to be studying at an accelerated pace. Let me read you the words of Rashi. Rashi says in Pasuk Lamed, Pasuk Yudches, Yudches Vayitim Moshe, Ein Mokta Kegos, Ein Mokta 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 Torah, Kechaloisoi, Kechaloisoi, Ksiv, Choser. It said, it is missing a Yud, Kechaloisoi, we're missing a Vav, and really it should say Kechaloisoi with a Vav. Shenim Sholoi Torah B'matana, Torah was given to Moshe and as a gift, Kekala, like a bride gives a gift to her chasa. Shelo haya, these words cannot be more clear. Shelo haya yachal lilmoid kula bizman muad kizeh. It is impossible for Moshe to have absorbed all of this information in a short a zman muad kizeh. Okay? That's Rashi's first pshat. That's what I want to dwell upon. Now, we go to the next pasuk. Vayar ha'am. The people saw. Ki voshesh Moshe loredes minohar. Moshe is late. This doesn't make any sense. He's late? Come on. Moshe says, 40 days. You ever wait for a bus? Does the bus ever come on time? You ever wait for the train? I mean, a little patience here. Just because he's a few minutes late. So he's late. New? What else is new? Okay, perfect person, but give him the benefit of the doubt. They didn't have enough chokhmah to realize that when he said 40 days, maybe it means starting from tomorrow. It doesn't mean starting from this moment. I mean, give him some slack. He took you out of Egypt. He did miracles. Mm-hmm. So no, he's a little bit late. Come on, you know, give him a little slack. Zero patience.
So the
extended
dog and
everything's said and good, but still the question still remains. All of these answers are 100% valid. The Satan made it dark and he told them all these.
He showed him Moshe dead on the
meat. He showed him a Mita, they showed him a flying saucer in Shemayim, little Moshe's coffin, and he made the world was all, everyone was chaos in the world. You're absolutely correct. We've learned this many, many times. But after everything is said and done, the question remains. Give him a day. He came within 24 hours. Give him a day. What's going on over here? He never had a delay in the airport. Never had a delay. What's going on over here? So, I want to suggest is that the reason, the problem over here is the disparity between Moshe and Klal Yisrael. Moshe is operating on an accelerated time scale. What would have taken Moshe Rabbeinu many lifetimes to learn, Kichaloisai, Kikala, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu Torah as a gift, like a kala gives a gift to a chas, and Rashi says, Bizman Mu'at. What would take a very, very long period of time was miraculously condensed into a very short period of time. Our leader Moshe Rabbeinu, he is able to do something so swift in a matter of moments will ordinarily take us years. And here we are on the opposite side of the spectrum. The time has come. You know, when Moshe said, I'm coming down in 40 days, why did Moshe, in their minds, how come you don't come early? See, many times, you know, you have an appointment. You come get an important appointment at the doctor. Something very important. You come bedinuk on time, or do you come early? When you come to Davi, do you come early, or do you come perfectly on time? It is a milah to come early. Just because the time appointment is 1 o'clock, if it's really important to you, you'll be there 12:30. You will be. If Moshe says, I'm coming down in 40 days, if we are important enough to our leader, he should be here after not more than 39 days. 40 days is the max. Not, this is the time. This is not a halachalam, you make the aron, you make how much gold, you make an exact calculation. When it comes to time, there is a principle of coming early. Everyone knows you come to davening, ain't a diamond, coming early to davening, then coming on time. When it says that davening is at 8 o'clock, it doesn't mean you walk into shul 8 o'clock. It means you walk into shul 7:30 and you sit down. And you put on, how long does it take to put on the talis and tefillin? When davening starts at 8 o'clock, that's when you already are supposed to be wearing talis and tefillin. You're supposed to already have said birchas hashachar. You're supposed to already be ready to participate. So that means you have to come early. You have to come into shul, hang up your coat. You got to sit down, wash your hands, go to the Beis HaKiseh, get ready, take in. You know, not everyone is so swift. It takes time to go. Moshe, I'm coming down in 40 days. If we are really important to you and we have an appointment that you're going to be in 40 days, you should have come down after 39 days. You should have come down after 38 days, after 37 days. Okay, you know, you don't want to come on time. You want to come a little bit late. We'll give you slack. But when we sense that we're waiting. You are experiencing the extreme opposite of waiting. You are operating at an accelerated pace in time. Rashi says, what is impossible for a person to do in this period of time, Hashem was mekatzer the zaman. It would take Moshe a lifetime, or many lifetimes, to accomplish what he accomplished those 40 days. Hashem took the Zman, kifitzas haderech. Zman, quick. Could it really be that our leader, for him, everything is quick, and we have to suffer and wait? It's like they complain about government. The rich get richer, and the poor get poorer. It's not fair. There has to be a little more, you know, middle ground. There should be, don't allow the situation, and it's not a healthy thing in a society where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's exactly what was happening over here. The rich were getting richer, and the poor were getting poorer. Moshe Rabbeinu was operating, he was raking in millions. Millions and millions and millions were coming in every second. Every second, astronomical amounts of religious currency was coming into his account. And here the Jewish people are waiting another day. They have nothing. They have no spirituality. Moshe is the only one that can teach them what the Torah. Moshe was the Sirsa. They're waiting. I'm suggesting part of the shocking behavior of Klal Yisrael not to be waiting, willing to wait even 1 second for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not just because they're impatient. It's because there is a disconnect. There is a horrible disconnect. And that is why this is a chelek. Pasuk Yud Ches is a chelek of the Chet HaEgel. It's a chelek of the chelek. Vayihi tein el Moshe, Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu. He gave him the luchas. Kecha loisoi ledaber ito. When Hashem finished to speak to him. What's the word kecha loisoi? Hashem was giving Moshe Rabbeinu information in an accelerated pace. It would take a long time. It took them. The Zman was nothing. In 5 minutes, he already went through 500 years of it. So, and we're, what about everyone else? It's telling about Moshe's experience in Shemayim. And what about everyone else? The whole Klal Yisrael. Vayar ha'om ki voishesh Moshe loredes min ha'ar. We're waiting. 40 days. Come early, Moshe. Zrizim atimim. What's so terrible? You come in 39 days, 38 days, 37 days. There's a disconnect. The disconnect is where all the problems begin. It's not just Stam. Oh, the people were impatient. There's a Musar. People need a leader that they connect with. You see this all the time. You see in yeshiva, living in the person only experience in your life. There are certain rebbeim that you connect with. And there are certain rabbis you don't connect. You don't. If there is a separation, you live in your world. I live in my world, and you're supposed to communicate, and you're totally oblivious to my needs. You're not with the people. You cannot be an effective leader. There is a direct contrast in the principle of zman. Between Pasuk Yud Ches and Pasuk Amikin Yonis. Kechalo Yisoy, Rashi's words. Rashi's words are, I'm not trying to be critical of Moshe, Chas V'Shalom. I'm just saying this is what was the Mitzias. And this has to be a contributing factor to the Chet Ego. And this incredible Musar Haskel is that when you deal with people, whether it's any type of a relationship, parents and children, husband and wife, a Rebbe and a Talmidim, you have to be on the same playing field. If you're a total disconnect, you cannot be an effective leader. And people cannot be expected to be Mekabel when we're living in different worlds. Look at how could you ignore this contrast? In the previous pasuk Yitches, the words of Rashi are Shelo Hoya Yochol Lilmoid Kula Bizman Muat Kazeh. Three words. Bizman Muat Kazeh. It was time was accelerated. Next pasuk Ki Voishesh Moshe. Moshe is having an accelerated period of time. And the Jewish people, when they look at Moshe in their relation, we're waiting. Voishesh, what does it mean, Voishesh? Loshon Ichor, delay, gridlock. We're going nowhere. Time is stalled. We're stuck. V'chein Voishesh Richbay, V'yachil Vat Voish, three examples, we're waiting. That's the problem. That's a very serious problem, and that is a contributing factor, and that is something which always should remember. You deal with a leader, a follower, and all the different dimensions of leadership. You got to be together. You got to be on the same field. You hear the contrast of just beyond. There is a disconnect. Okay, let's go to another idea in this parasha now.
Yes. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
I somehow always envisioned the disconnect between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people was communication. He told them, "I'm coming back on day X."
That's what Rashi says.
The disconnect of Zman, I don't necessarily think that's what took place here.
So exactly what you're saying is what was Rabbi Eliezer asked that question. Rashi tells us what happened. They made a mistake in Zman. Moshe said, "I'm coming after 40 days." Rashi says, we learned the Rashi. What is 40 days? They made a mistake. They thought 40. The first of the 40 days is day 7 of Sivan, which means that Moshe was expected to arrive at 12 o'clock on the dot on the 16th day of Tammuz. That was a mistake. When Moshe says, "I'm coming back in 40 days," it means starting tomorrow on the 8th day of Sivan is day 1, which means I will arrive on the 17th day of Tammuz. So I ask, that's what Rashi says. Rashi tells you the pshat. I asked you, if it were you, you completely abandon and get divorced because the person is late by one day?
Moshe, throughout his career, if you look at all the time that he spans in the folder with the Makos, it's going to happen on this day, it's going to happen on this day. They knew Moshe Rabbeinu as well.
No, in fact, not. Kichatzai Salaila. In fact, when Moshe told them about, he went out of his way to say not exactly with precision. He did just the opposite.
Because that was to fool the Paro. More than the Jews.
Oh, I hear what you're saying, but it is shocking. There has to be another condition that's lurking in the background of how how we can just abandon everything that has been built up over history. There were the Avos, they had a mitzvah of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then there was the Shibud and Mitzrayim, and Moshe comes and the Shibud stops, the Ten Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mon. I mean, incredible miracles, one miracle after another. And Moshe gives them already the Aseres HaDibros. And then he tells them 40 days. They don't even think about the possibility that maybe their calculation of 40 days is incorrect. It's not such a chokhmah. Moshe said 40 days. So what does it mean, 40 days? Does it mean 40 days from today? Or maybe it means 40 days from tomorrow? And the truth was, Moshe, when he said he meant 40 days from tomorrow, no one in the whole Klal Yisrael can think of that's what Moshe Rabbeinu meant. And even if Moshe said 40 days, you know, he's going to Shemayim. He's gone where no man has gone before. Maybe there's a delay. Maybe there's traffic up there. Maybe there's some delay. It's shocking that the first moment that Moshe is not willing to come down, right away, let's abandon everything that we got and we're going to exchange it for a gold calf. Okay, you have to do analysis. It's not the first time mistakes were made in calculations. Baal Shetzar, there was the prophecy of 70 years. There will be a redemption. Who made a big mistake? Also, Baal Shetzar. Who made the second mistake? Achashverosh. Well, they didn't know that when it says 70 years, it means from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's not so complicated. Shevet Ephraim, 30, they left 30 years in advance. What's going on? Why is there this impetuousness to leave? The answer is, there's something else. There's always another condition that is contributing to the blinding a person from being willing to see the truth. 40 days, it's right in front of you. 40 days means from tomorrow. There's something that is fooling you. There is something that's bothering you so much in your mind that bothers you so much, which blinds you to see the obvious truth. Baal Shetzar was such a tippish. He didn't see that when it says 70 years, it means when Nebuchadnezzar became the king. Who says that's what the 70 years means? Maybe it means when Nebuchadnezzar, he exiled Yoyachin. Maybe it means from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Why does he think Baal Shetzar, he's so confident to go and to make a party and to celebrate? Achashverosh was so confident. There's something more. There is a negius, there's a bribe. We all know, it says in the Torah, ki ashoichad ye'aver einei chachamim v'salev divrei tzadikim. There was an agenda. A person is very easily fooled. A person can be very easily blinded when there's something that he has a personal gain or an agenda to achieve. It blinds him from the obvious truth. What then was blinding Klal Yisrael from the obvious truth? And there has to be something. And it's not a coincidence that you see the contrast between what the Christians have done. They went out of their way to delete this pasuk from the story. They deleted this pasuk, which right away opens up to us. Hey, how dare you? Obviously, this pasuk is part of the calculation, and these two pasukim are juxtaposed, and this entire sugya is all part of the Chedo Egel, and it does show that there's something wrong here. Moshe was in Shemayim receiving the Torah. Moshe was receiving it bizman muat. And the very next pasuk, it says the word kala, bizman muat. The very next pasuk, givoshesh. Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, they're in a matzav where we're going nowhere. We're just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. There's a disconnect. When Klal Yisrael is in a matzav of disconnect, they're blinded and they're looking for excuses. Okay, let's go further. I want to go discuss something else. Let's go further. Later in the parasha, we learn about something. We have in the parasha the Yud Gimel Midoy Sorachamim. And we all have the impression that the Yud Gimel Sorachamim, they were introduced by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu as a way of Moshe being mispalel. This is right now, it's a long pshat. I'm not telling you any chidushim, but I'm about to tell you now. This is just simple pshat. It's very relevant, but let's just look at the psukim in the Torah. Most of us, when we look at Chumash, we are of the understanding that in Parashas Kisisa, Vayavor Hashem al Panav Vayikra, Hashem comes down from Har Sinai and presents Moshe with the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim. And the purpose of teaching Moshe the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim was so that Moshe now will say these Midos, which he did, with Klal Yisrael, to beg Hashem to forgive us for the Chei To'egel. It was a terrible Avera. Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispelled Zachor li Avraham li Yitzhak li Yaakov. Hashem said, okay, I'm going to forgive you. And then it right away segues into go to the rock, hide yourself in the cleft, in the rock, my Shechina is going to pass, You're not going to be able to see my panim. You're going to see my from me from behind. And I'm going to teach you the yud gimel nidois of rachamim. And with this, you're going to be forgiven. That's how I always looked at it. And I think most people look at the yud gimel nidois of rachamim. It's just part of the story of the egel. And once this was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Klal Yisrael in the Chet Egel, so now we have a tool in our arsenal. And every time we are in need of doing teshuvah, every time we have a situation on our hands, and we need to do teshuvah, whether it's going to be for in Elul, Yom Hadin, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whether it's going to be on a Tainis Sibur, so what do? Oh, the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sarachamim, these are our weapons. We beg Hashem, anyone that says the Yud, Gimel, Midos, Sarachamim, it is a bris, there's a covenant, he will not walk out empty-handed, Hashem will forgive him. Isn't that the way we simply understand? It's obviously not the pshat. I'll go through it because I want to show you it's not the pshat. The pshat is basically as follows. Moshe goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's just read on this and get an appreciation of what's happening over here. And there's a lesson. There is something to take out of this. Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, you're in a lot of trouble. Your people lechrei. Okay, the eagle, the story continues. I'm jumping to the middle of the story. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe. Lech raid. Descend. It's all over. Ki shiches amecha. Your people have dealt corruptly. What have they done? Asher ha'aleisim yerzshayim. Sodom ahem naderech asher tzivisim asul lachem egel ma'asecha. Okay. Moshe jumps out. Emergency exit. Emergency in Shemayim. They have emergency exits. They are codes. Okay. Well, before Moshe went up to Shemayim, he had to sit down. And the stewardess showed him where the emergency exits are. He showed him how to put on the life vest and what to do. And guess what? Moshe, he watched the movie. Because Moshe needed to know where the emergency exits were located. And he needed to pull all the buttons to escape very quickly because we were in a lot of trouble. Moshe descends. He comes down and he right away he punishes everyone. V'chulu, v'chulu. He mila shem elai. He destroys the Egel. The people who worship the Egel were executed. The people that there were no witnesses for, it says there was a Magefa, and they died. Okay, now what? Hashem says, sorry, it's over. It's over. That's it. These people we're done with. We're going to have to start fresh. So Moshe says, no, you're not. You're not going to start fresh. You're going to forgive them. So Moshe, he argues with Hashem. And Hashem, after arguing, because it's very important to the precision of what happens here. And Hashem says, I forgive them. Okay, let me just find the right person. I'm going to forgive them. It's very short, very few psukim. Here, v'ata im tisochat asam, if you'll forgive them, good. V'im ayin, if you're not going to forgive them, mocheni no mi sifra chasher kosof. The Moshe says, I don't want people should say about me that I wasn't able to save them. I wasn't worthy. I'm not worth anything. I'm not even good enough that I can be mispal on their behalf to save them, I don't want to be part of this. V'yam ashal Moshe, you know what? You know what? I'll tell you what. V'yidav ashal Moshe lech alei mizeh. Vayomer leich, vayomer Hashem al Moshe mi asher chotuli emcha misifri. In other words, pasuk lamed gimel. These words, Hashem forgives the Jewish people. It's an incredible pasuk. We don't really appreciate this. This pasuk, after Moshe says, mi asher chotuli emchenu misifri, I'm not gonna erase you from my sefer. In other words, I forgive them. The entire mechila of Klal Yisrael for the Chet Egel is right here. Right here. Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe, mi asher chotol. You didn't sin to me. Emchenu mi sifri. I'm going to erase you. But Hashem, I'm giving you an ultimatum. I'm giving you an ultimatum. If you don't forgive them, I don't want any part of this. So Hashem says, I'm not erasing you. If I'm not erasing you, means I forgive them. Isn't that basic algebra? Isn't that basic logic, ninth grade logic? He says, the atah now, im tisoch atosam, if you will forgive their sin, good. The im ayin, if you don't, mocheini no misivach asher kosovta. Hashem says, Vayim Hashem Moshe, mi asher chotli imchenu misifui, which means simply, I'm not erasing you. If I'm not erasing you, this is ninth grade logic. If A, I remember the symbols, okay? I don't even know my ninth grade logic. I never like that stuff, that logic stuff, okay? To me, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, all those symbols, A, negative A, squiggly, all these things. Moshe says, it's totally zebezer. Either black, it's very black and white. It's very black and white. Either you forgive them or you erase me. So Hashem says, I'm not erasing you. If I'm not erasing you, what does that mean? I forgive them. The end. The story is over. The curtains can now close, and we can all go home, and we're very happy. Moshe Rabbeinu, he saved the day. He rides off into the sunset. And that's the end of the story. Right? Is that really what it says here? The entire mechila of the Chet HaEgel is right here. Now is where the problems begin. Hashem says, I forgive them. But there are consequences. There are consequences. What are the consequences? I forgive them. But there are strings attached. The strings attached are, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be anymore the way it was intended to be. The original plan was, I would go in front of you. The Shekhinah, the Amud He'onon, the Amud Ho'esh, I myself would lead you into Eretz Yisrael. But now that you've committed this horrible crime, you know what? I forgive you. You gave me an ultimatum, Moshe. Okay, I forgive you. But there's a consequence. I'm not going with you. V'ata now leich nechei lo esa'on. El asher dibarti lochinei malachi yeleich lefonecha. My malach will go in front of you. Don't ever sin again. Because if you ever sin again, then you're going to be punished. You're going to be punished for the chet ha'egel again. Okay, that's a side point. But and then vayikav, then the parsha winds down. Not bad. Okay, it's like, you know, the art of making a deal. Okay, there's a deal here that's been made. There's a deal. Moshe presented an ultimatum. Hashem gave him a counter offer. I forgive them. Consequences are, I'm not coming with you. And by the way, watch out. There are no second chances. If you sin again, when you'll sin again in the future, then I'm going to punish you again. It's going to bring up what you've done now. All right, not bad. The counter offer of Hashem is pretty good. But the counter offer definitely includes, that's not on the table. I forgive you. I forgive you. There will be no more consequences. Okay? I mean, even though people die, there was a magefa, but the majority of Klal Yisrael survived. Okay? Hashem wanted to wipe out the whole Klal Yisrael. The majority survived. I forgive you. Moshe seems to say it's not so bad. Good deal. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. Vayidab Hashem Moshe lech alech alem yizeh go. No, it's a good deal. You accept the deal. Shake hands, sign the documents, bring out all the photographers, the media, take pictures. We got a deal. We're not going to nuke them. I'm not going to nuke the Jewish people. Deal. There are some, you know, conditions. I'm not going with you, and watch out. Not bad, no. Moshe accepted the terms. Moshe's okay. Hashem says, go home now. Let's go, let's proceed. And soon go on. I'm going to send the malach, proceed. Moshe accepted the deal. Vayishma ha'omes ha'dovar horo hazeh v'yisabolu. When Moshe told them the deal that he accepted in Shemayim, the people said, no way. No way, Jose. We don't accept this. You have no right. You are our leader. This is a democracy. You can't do something without our approval. They rejected the deal. Why? Hashem must come with us. Now, we have to read all the Rashi's. We can't spell all the Rashi's. Rashi explains here in the entire thing. What's the pshat? Why did Hashem say, I'm not going with you? So Rashi explains, because Hashem said, it's for your benefit. Because I already lost my cool with you people. And if I'm going to go with you, and you are going to misbehave, even just, you know, a minor infraction, if you talk during davening, then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to wipe you out. Until now, I loved you. I was so good. I was so much in love with you. Even if you talk during davening, it's okay. It's okay. But now that you have worshipped the Chet HaEgel, I forgive you. I forgive you, but even though I forgive you, it's not the same. And I'm not going to be tolerant of even a minor sin. And if I'm gonna continue with
minor
you,
infraction.
A minor infraction, thank you. A minor infraction, I will obliterate you. So therefore, it's for your benefit that I'm gonna keep my distance and I'm gonna send into my place an agent, the Malka. Klal Yisrael said, no way, no way do we accept this deal. Hashem must come with us. But Hashem says back to Moshe, I can't. I cannot restore the love. Because if I come with you, I'm going to destroy you. I'm not going to tolerate a minor infraction. So Moshe says to Hashem, we got a problem here. We got a problem. I accept the deal. I accepted the deal. That's over. That's ancient history. We signed the documents. We took pictures. We won the Nobel Prize. There was a Nobel Peace Prize. Moshe and Hashem. They won the Nobel Peace Prize. They took pictures. Moshe made a deal. Hashem was going to destroy Klal Yisrael. He's going to nuke them. Moshe went to Shemayim. He made a deal. Hashem said, okay, I forgive you. They signed the deal. They took pictures. They won the Nobel Peace Prize. We're all done. On the ground, Moshe comes back and he says, there were consequences, you should know. You know, even though we won the Nobel Prize, the consequence are Hashem's not coming with us for good reason. Because if Hashem would come with us and you would talk during davening, a minor infraction, you would be smoke. There would be none of you. You guys would be gone. So Klal Yisrael says, this is non-negotiable. This is something that we unacceptable. Hashem must come. But Hashem's going to destroy you. Moshe, you won the Nobel Peace Prize. Go back and find the solution for this. That's now Vayichal Moshe. Vayichal Moshe. This is the Pesuk Mamish, the Pshuta Shol Mikra. What does it come out now? The Yud Gimel, come out Beferish. The Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. You know what it's all about, Yigel Mus Harachamim is? Hashem said, okay, you know what? I'm going to come with you. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get angry. Just like I said. And when I get angry, I lost my love for you because of the Chet HaEgel. I'm going to arm my weapons. I'm going to arm the weapons. I'm going to load the live ammunition put into my weapons. And when you talk during davening, you're in a lot of trouble. Just like nothing's changed. But I'm giving you a tool that when I do get angry, you'll be able to appease me. So what is the result? The Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael are here to be Mefayes Hashem in our, when Hashem now is amongst us in a very dangerous way. The history of Klal Yisrael is a very dangerous history. The original plan was Hashem would come with us and he would treat us like a child. You take a child to shul and the child talks during davening, what are you going to do to the kid? Nothing. You give him a lollipop. Put this in your mouth instead of talk. You give him a candy. That was the original plan. Hashem had so much love for Klal Yisrael. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I'm going to go with you. Listen, if you misbehave, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll find a solution. I'll train you how to be good. I'm not gonna. You're my a little toddler. What are you gonna do? A little toddler talks during davening. No one's gonna get angry. But now, the whole equation has changed. Hashem says, "You're finished." Moshe, no. You're not gonna finish them off. Okay, I forgive them, but there's a consequence. I'm not coming with them. Fine. Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, "He's not coming with us." He is coming with us. You go back and tell Hashem. No, but if he comes with you, he's going to destroy you if you commit a minor infraction. Well, Moshe, you better find a solution for that. The solution for that was, Vayechal Moshe, Pnei Hashem Elokav. Hashem, come with us. And Hashem's going to get angry at us. Moshe is inviting a lion into our camp. It's like you open up the door, a lion is knocking on your front door, oh, you can come into the house. And when the lion gets hungry, no, don't eat me up. I have special food for you. Don't eat me up. The whole Vayechal Moshe is a very dangerous situation. Moshe is inviting Hashem to come amongst us in a matzav where Hashem is really not so happy to be here with us. And Hashem is intolerant of minor infractions. But Hashem says, I'm giving you a tool. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chan erech apayim, the yud gimel midos harachamim is to b'mefayes me when you commit minor infractions. Now that to me at least changes the whole appreciation of the yud gimel midos harachamim. Until spend time, it's really based on Chumash and Rashi. Until he spent time learning this, you know, he comes to Rosh Hashanah, comes Yom Kippur, Selichos, all the Taniyos, we dwell heavily upon, everything is centered around the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim. And many of us, including myself, we think we're dealing with something that is cosmic, that is global, the history, the destiny of Klal Yisrael, where we're going. Guess what? That's not what it's about. Klal Yisrael is guaranteed safe passage to the end of days because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you don't want to forgive them, take me out of the books. Hashem says, you ain't going nowhere, which means I forgive them. So what's now Zechor, LeAvraham, LeYitzchak, LeYaakov, what's this all about? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? It's for the little things. The little things. When it comes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when it comes Tainus Esther, when it comes the Dalet Tzaymos, Tisha B'Av, well not really Tisha B'Av is a little bit different, when it comes the other, you know, you fast and you say Hashem, Hashem, you know what you've been mispalel for? The little things. I talked during davening, I was not so careful in Lashon Hara, I was not so careful in Kibud Av Va'Em, I wasn't so careful, the little things. Why the little things? What about the big things? The big things! Moshe took care of the big things. Moshe took care of that. Moshe said, Hashem, Mocheinina misifrecha. Okay, the big things are taken care of. But I'm not coming with you. You want the Shekhinah to rest, and Hashem should come and sit with you every single day? The Shekhinah should rest? If I'm going to come and rest in your presence, where I'm not so excited about you because of what happened, I'll flare up in a second if you commit a minor infraction. It's not for you. No. Come. And in case you get upset with us because we commit minor infractions, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum, v'chan, erech ha'payim, v'rav chesed v'yemes. The Dalit Soymans, the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's not for the big things. It's for the kleinazah, the small little things. It's your daily life. Everyone knows where they're supposed to be whole. No one is obligated to become a Malach Elokim. No one's supposed to be a Rashiva, it's supposed to be a Tzad. Everyone knows, listen, this is what it is. Hashem made you like this. He put you in this generation. He put you in this environment. It is what it is. Everyone knows it could be a little better. I can do a little more. Everyone knows on their level where they should be holding. No one has dreamed, I'm going to be the girl mother. You know, you can do a little better, you know, be a little more careful in what any way you know to be right. Anyway, once upon a time, you used to be more careful, be a little more careful. That's what it's all about. That's all about. Because Hashem is going to, at the end of days, we'll get there. Moshe. We want the extra, we want to restore the Shekhinah should be in our presence. But for the Shekhinah to be in our presence, it's a danger. Because Hashem says, you get me angry, I'm going to flare up. Vayichal Moshe, give me the tools that this shouldn't happen. The Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim offer the small things, not the big ones. Now I want to conclude this idea, maybe everything, I'm running out of time, with a gematria. Now, I'm from the biggest critics of the gematria. But this gematria, I'm telling you now, is gold. And this is original. Dvarim ha'imdim b'ruma shel adam. I'm totally original, but no, we live today. No, we live today. We say we're in the year Tof Shin. I told this part of this already. I told this to you, probably Erev Rosh Hashanah. We live in the year Tof Shin Pei Beis. What does that mean, Tof Shin Pei Beis? If you look when they write it out on like a big tzetel, you know the Pashkevilim in Eretz Yisrael will write out the date. You look, they'll write their sentence. They'll write Pei Kuf, Pei, quotation mark. A double apostrophe, kuf. What does that mean? Pei kuf? What does that mean? It means pirat katan. The small number. The prat katan. What is tav shin? Tav shin, the gematria of tav shin pei base is tav is 400, shin is 300, pei is 82. So that means 4 plus 3 is 700. We're now in the year 782. We're not in the year 782, we're in the year 2022. We're not in the year 2022. We're in the year 782. Liprat Katon. By a wedding, by a wedding, you go to the year of the Ksuba. Chaneshe Salafin. Ushva Meos. Ushmoinim Shtayim. Libria Sa'olam. So you start off 5,700. And 82. 782 is called the Pei Kuf, the Prat Katan. We don't bother with the number 5,000 because, you know, we don't change 1,000 years very often, right? So it's not very relevant for us. So when we refer to the date, we just say with shorthand, Tav Shin Pei Beis, it's the year 782. Liprat Katan, the small number. What is the Prat Godoil, the large number? 5,000. We're holding now in the year, Hey Alafim, they send the right, Hey Alafim Liprat Godol, Pei Gimel, is the Prat Godol, and Tav Shin Pei Beis, Liprat Katan. Now, in Tanakh, there is one pasuk in the entire Tanakh, Chumash, Nevi'im, Ksuv, Megillos, in its entirety, get a load of this, okay? In its entirety, that is bigmatch exactly 5,000. No fillings here. No kolel, no this, no that. Bidiyuk. There's only one pasuk in the entire Tanakh that is exactly equals 5,000. It's in this week's parsha. It is the last pasuk of this week's parsha. The last pasuk of this week's parsha probably is the pasuk, you can argue, that captures the ultimate praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mm-hmm. More than v'lo kam k'moshe, Eved Hashem, Anav. Yeah, those are nice expressions. It's not, to a degree, the end of this week's parasha is the end of parasha's Chumash Shemos. Because Vayachal B'Kudei is just, you know, Chazor HaShtekel, Vayachal B'Kudei. At the end of Kisisa, that's it. It's curtains. This is really the last pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk? V'ro v'nei Yisrael les p'nei Moshe. Gans klali Yisrael, they looked at Moshe. They looked at him. Ki koran or p'nei Moshe. His face shone. It glowed. V'heishiv Moshe es hamasveh al ponov. And Moshe, when he came down, he put the cover on his face because of this glow. Ad ba'o ledaber ito, until he returned to speak to Hashem, and Rashi says, and then he took off the cover. The glow was so great, the Jewish people couldn't even look at him. Okay, the master over here is referring to, it enhances the glow. Oh, you know, the guy is like, wow, nice, he looks a good-looking guy, you know? It's like the glow was so intense, the Jewish people couldn't even look at him. They couldn't even look. He radiated. Chazal tells us when he taught them Torah, then they were able to look. But when he wasn't teaching Torah, the schus of Torah wasn't Megan, so then he had to cover his face. Because Moshe, he radiated. He was radioactive. Okay, he was radioactive. He was beaming with Kedusha. It's a beautiful pasuk. It describes the greatness, and you look at the Mefarshim, where did Moshe get the Karnar Panav? Visakoisi Eskapi, Hashem put his hand on Moshe. The closest man ever came to God in this world came from Hashem put his hand. What does it say that? When do you have a pasuk like that, like in this week's parasha? Visakoisi Eskapi, I will put my hand on you. What a parent does for a child. Friday night, parents give a blessing to their child. Yisimcha lakim kefrayim chomenashe. Kisara rizka rochel v'leya. V'sakoysi yaskapi. You're doing v'sakoysi yaskapi. I'm going to rest my hand on you. When you give smicha to a Talmud, you put your hands on the Talmud's head. Where does it come from? The closest man ever came to God, the closest, is Moshe Rabbeinu v'sakoysi yaskapi. The Baal HaTorim says, when Hashem put his hand on Moshe, that's when he became radioactive. That's when he koran or upon him. Or when he got the luchos, he chiseled the luchos. He brought down Hashem's Torah to Klal Yisrael. Hashem put his hand, he got radiation. He the Torah radiation. Klal Yisrael looks at Moshe, they connect to Moshe, he koran or upon him. Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kushabichu, you have all these beautiful things coming together over here. This pasuk is quite a pasuk. Let's make no mistake about this pasuk describing the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. This pasuk is bigamatria exactly with no loose ends, no koilel, no this, no that, clean as a whistle. And there is no pasuk in the entire Tanakh. I did this with a computer, checked it out, I'll show you. There's no pasuk. The whole Tanakh, that's from beginning to end. There are expressions. I can show you from some expressions. But a pasuk, Bishlei Musar, from beginning to end, 5,000 right here. Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, I'm going to tell you now, I told you Erev Rosh Hashanah. Every day in Shemoneh Esrei we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Veloikei Yaakov. Exactly the way it says in Shemoneh Esrei. No tricks. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Veloke Yaakov. What's the gematria? He said three times a day, Shabbos four times. It's exactly 782. No kunsa. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Veloke Yaakov. Who are our leaders? There are two dimensions. This is something very posh, but I want to just twist it a little bit, turn it a little bit different now. Who are our leaders in the Jewish people? Who? There's the Avos. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yaakov. Why are you Mekayim the mitzvah of Bris Mila? It's not because of Avraham. Everyone knows this, Torah. It's not because of Avraham. It's because of Moshe. Moshe went to Shemam. He brought down the Taryag mitzvahs. And even the few handful of mitzvahs that we already did from the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were renewed with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe brought down the Torah. You observe the, this is a famous story, you Mekayim the mitzvah Bris Mila because of Moshe, not because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Until Moshe, it was because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But it was renewed, and there were changes, there were new halachas. Halach l'Moshe m'Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu, the world began with Kabbalah Satoira for Klal Yisrael. But don't forget where you come from. Moshe was a melech. He was a melech, Moshe. Avinu Malkeinu, the same way by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we relate to Hashem as our father and our king. Amongst our leaders, we have our father, the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, and we have our king. Who's our king? Moshe, v'hi b'shudun melech, man malkei rabbanan. Moshe gave us the Torah. Avinu Malkeinu for Hashem, Avinu Malkeinu our leaders. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, a person in your own life. You have a Rebbe who teaches you Torah, and you have your parents. Okay, two different dimensions of leadership. This week, you know, now it's Parashas Kisisa. Parashas Kisisa, what's the year? Go to a wedding. If you went to a wedding this week, they would say by the chuppah, it's Chameish Es Alofim, Shva Neos, Ushmoinim Ushnaim, Lil Briyasa Oilam, 5,000, 782 years from creation. Haloi Dover. Isn't that amazing that the last pasuk of this week's parasha, in this Zman, we go through the year, is 5,000, and it is the pasuk which defines the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. It is the pasuk that brings out Kikoran or Pnei Moshe, who Moshe was. Hashem put his hand on him, and he was zocha to the radiance of the Shechina. And it's also, and what does Moshe Rabbeinu do in this week's parasha? Number one, he says to Hashem, if you don't forgive these people, I'm out of here. Hashem says, me, Asher Chotuli Amchenu Misifai, I forgive them. I'm not erasing you. Go to ninth grade, they have the squiggly lines. A minus squiggly line, A, B, it's basic logic. Hashem, Moshe made an ultimatum. Hashem says, no, I'm not erasing you, thus I forgive them. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu. What else? That's the big picture. Our destiny, the Prat Godol. Our Prat Godol in this world, that we exist, and there will be a Geula at some point in time. Our destiny is sealed. Moshe won the Nobel Prize. That's it. We're sealed. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. 5,000. The Prat Godol. But Hashem wasn't going to come with us anymore, because it was not in our best interest. We would be obliterated for the Prat Koton. The Koton. Koton, depends on the context. Sometimes Koton. We would not make it. We needed Moshe to invoke the others. Zichor le'Avraham li'Yitzchak u'li'Yakov. Moshe said to Hashem, we want you to come with us. And Hashem, give us a solution how you can come with us, and when you get upset, you won't flare up and destroy us. Okay? And do this, come with us, and provide us with a solution in the zuchus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. For the minor infractions, the Prat Katan, in the zuchus, I wasn't good enough for this, Moshe said. I was only good to say, Machenina, for the Prat Godol. Okay, I forgive you, we'll go weiter, but I'm not coming with you, because of the minor infractions. So for the Prat Katan, we want you, find a solution. Okay, in the zuchus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I'm going to be megale the Yud Gimel Midoy Sarachamim. I'll come with you. Behave yourself. And in case you mess up on the little things, don't forget to have kavana when you say, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanan. That will be the solution. That's, I'm going to be koyres a bris. Anyone that says, Hashem, Hashem, forgive you. We'll take care of it. That's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So, to Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We're now in a very special time. Cannot deny that time has meaning. It's Heilofim, Tof, Shin, Pei, Beis. It's Parshas Kisisa. It is the Parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's right here, the last pasuk. It's the Parsha of Moshe Rabbeinu. 5,000. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he say in this week's parasha? What comes out of his mouth? Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, ve'Elokei Yaakov. Zichor li Avraham li Yitzchak u li Yaakov. We say this every single day when we daven Shemona Esrei. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And that zuchus, take care of the small things. It's a very special time. It's a very special time in history, this Shabbos, this week, this whole tekufa. And what's the message? I don't know what the message is, but it's something to reflect upon and to take serious, and at least, you know, take life seriously. Daven, use this. It's an ace rotzain. The world is spinning out of control. Every day you hear crazy things going on in this world. It's mamish sakonis nefashos. every dimension. It's a very unstable world, very delicate. We need Moshe, we need the Avos like never before. They may their zuchuyos be megin aleinu, and we should be zoicha to witness bracha, nachas, atzlacha, and all of the inyanim for us and for Klal Yisrael, witness B'yas Mashiach that came in the Meher of Yomeinu. Amen. Have a good Shabbos. Be well. We have a minyan? We are. Yeah.